I wonder if anybody during this week has had what I would call a joyful moment. You've been thought. Well, this morning I had four things that gave me joy. They were all cards. and for the first time, occasionally I only get three. But today I had four. One of them, I had some difficulty in grasping what the significance of it was, because it was a chimpanzee sitting on the ground with glasses on reading a book. And I wasn't quite sure. But the comment inside was, is not another Father's Day, is it? Well, I'm rather glad that I've had another Father's Day. But there was a few things that brought me joy. There's different ways of experiencing joy. Some of them are spiritual things, and some of them are just ordinary things like a Father's Day. I must tell you about the presents I got. I got some socks. We all need socks, but I got two boxes of chocolate ginger, which I'm rather partial to. But being diabetic, I can't have them. I will eat them anyway. Anyway, on Monday morning, we have a prayer meeting at our church on a Monday morning. And there were three things that people said that gave us joy. The first was a man called Stephen Riley, who has been very much involved in youth work, and he heads up something called M10, which takes groups of young people over to Mexico to build houses. Anyway, He got divorced a few years ago in very sad circumstances, and he had a girlfriend recently, and he said, "I got engaged yesterday." Well, what a joy that was to us, because this man had struggled very much. He's got three children, and he's been a good father to them, and had to struggle. And it gave us great joy. He says, "Well, I'm very joyful about that," but he said, "I'm joyful about something else." He said, "My little girl, she's about 8 or 9. He said, "I was putting her to bed, and she was asking me questions. She wanted to know, where's God then? And why can't we see God? Where is he? Is he here? Well, where is he? I can't see him." And she was being really awkward with him. And he said, "Well, you read about God in the Bible, and he shows you himself in the Bible." And she says, "Well, there isn't a Bible in this house. And there's about 10 Bibles in." He said, "There is Bibles in the house. You've just never looked, have you?" Anyway, she was moaning on about this, and he kissed her goodnight. He said, "Well, go to sleep," and he said a prayer. He said, next morning when he went into the bedroom, there was a Bible on the bedside. She had gone downstairs and found a Bible, and she had been reading it. And that was a very joyful thing. And then my wife, Anne, got up and said, "Well, I wanted to share something that gave me joy." She said, "We had a man came to fix the dishwasher in the church. It's a wonderful dishwasher. It does dishes in 3 minutes." he'd come to fix it, and he was lying on the floor, because it was low down, grappling with this. And she was standing talking to him, as she does. And she was saying, "Do you have any connection with church apart from this one?" Which is a rather obvious one. And he said, "Well, I used to a very long time ago, but I've kind of left all that kind of thing behind." And she said, "Well, I've known Jesus since I was a 12-year-old girl, and Jesus is wonderful to me, and I have such joy in my Christian life." And so she had this conversation with him, and she said, "Before you go, there's something I want to give you. And we've got a pile of Bibles at the back of the church, which are Gideon Bibles, actually. And she got one, and she said, "I want you to have this. I cannot give you a better gift." And he took it, and he said, "Oh, I'll read it." And she gave him a little booklet as well. And she was so filled with the joy of that. Well, on Friday, there was a knock at the door, and I'd seen it coming. You know, when you see these lads with the bags, these young people coming past, I thought, "Oh, there'll be a knock on the door any minute." And sure there was. And this young lad saying, "I've been involved in prison and all these things," he said, "but now I'm on this scheme where I go around and sell things. I live in Middlesbrough." He said this and that. So I said the same sort of thing to him. do you, and well, I'm a Christian and I believe in the Lord Jesus. And he said, oh, he said, oh, I must tell you about this. He said, we went on a flight, me and my girlfriend, and we were in a three seat, and the seat beside us was an old lady. And he said, as we came towards Manchester, it was very windy and buffety. And he says, the pilot said, put your heads forward and all this sort of thing. He said, we thought we were going to crash. And this old lady was crying and other people were crying. And he said, I was terrified, and me and my girlfriend were hugging each other. And he says, I closed my eyes. Suddenly the picture of a cross came into my mind. And he said, I think that was a message from God. He said, I thought it might be saying I'm going to die. But he said, we kind of clung to this now. I hung on to this picture. And he said, we landed safely, and everybody cheered and clapped. And he said, me and my girlfriend, he said, Middlesbrough. He said, we thought, we've got to go and give God thanks for our safety. And so he said they'd gone looking for a church, and they'd found a Methodist church. Now, wasn't that interesting? He said, I'd look for that because my granny was a Methodist, and she used to talk about going to church and the Methodists and everything. He said, so I thought, well, I'll probably find God there if I go. So he said they'd gone to the Methodist church, and they'd given thanks to God. So I said to him, well, by a strange coincidence, I've got something to give you. He showed me his contents of his bag. I said, I don't want anything in your bag, but I've got something I want to give you. So I gave him £5, and I said, that's for nothing. That's just a gift. I gave him a copy of the book, John's Gospel, which is the message of the cross, and I gave him a copy of the DVD, because I bought 25, which I kind of gave away. And I said, what's the title on that DVD? And he looked at me and said, The Cross. And I said, don't you think there's a coincidence there that you saw that cross and here it's on that same thing? So I said, I want you to go and listen to that. He said, I will. I hope I meet you again. Well, that was great joy that it brought to us. Now, it isn't just things that bring us joy. There are experiences that bring us joy as well. And I was thinking, well, what is it? What is joy? Well, a dictionary says it's a deep feeling of happiness or contentment. I thought, yes, that's quite good. That's the sort of thing you have when you propose to your girlfriend and she says yes. Deep feeling of happiness or contentment. Rejoicing is an expression of joy. It's something of which we've been doing this morning. Scriptural joy, and I've got to say this sounds very posh, but it's my understanding of it. Scriptural joy is a deep undergirding of faith in all of life's circumstances that our Father is in control and we can trust him to see us through. And that connects really with today being Father's Day. So the title, if you want a title for this talk, which is all about scriptures really, it's Living the Abundant Christian Life, Joy. And it's part of a series which I haven't done, but have got the outline for, and this is the first in them. This is Philippians 1. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Well, there were three little things. I'm not doing a three-point sermon like Anne would do. This is just 3 points, and then I could probably sit down. Three things. Joy of faith is linked in fellowship. That joy from faith will lead to rejoicing. That having joy leads us to rejoice, and that rejoicing will be abundant in Christ Jesus. In the newer translations, they don't translate the word abundant. They've translated overwhelming or something like that. But abundant is lovely, isn't it? I don't know if any of you have played the game. You won't have played the game cards, of course. You wouldn't play cards being devout Christians. But I used to play that card game, I can't remember the name of the thing now, Abundance. It used to have Abundance was one of the things. Canasta. Canasta. Anybody played Canasta? I'll pray for you, brother. Yeah. Well, I used to play for money. So that's not really very good, is it? But I stopped when I became a Christian. Abundance is over and above. It's good measure pressed down and running over. I just love that expression. How you get a bit extra. Now I go to buy chicken to Dobby's, and the butcher there is really good. You take him a tray and he puts them into twos. And if there's one left, I say, are you going to make that up to two? And he'll say, yes, I am. He gives you an extra piece of chicken if it's an odd number, which I think is abundant, isn't it? And I say, mind, I don't want to pay any more. And he says, oh, no, you won't pay any more. Still pay the same price. Anyway, there's lots of words in the Bible which describe joy, gladness, mirth, shouting, clapping, exuberance. You know, when I read about the Old Testament, when the people gathered in the temple for the big festivals, and they talked about the choirs and the trumpets, the sound must have, you know, I can remember being in Newcastle when Malcolm McDonald played for Newcastle, and everybody used to chant Super Mac. Do you remember that? Super Mac. Well, if he scored a goal, everybody in Newcastle heard the chanting, and I can remember being on Thumbland Street one day, and he scored, and I could hear Super Mac being chanted from Newcastle. Well, that's what it was like. When the children of Israel gathered for the big festivals, they would hear that sound all around. It would be a tremendous sound. There were hundreds of thousands of people who went to want to praise and worship God. Clapping is a means of worship. We don't clap very much here, I've noticed. I've noticed that, you know. Clap. Good. It's good to do it. Oh, you're complaining. Okay, all right. It's only Westbury and Ronnie. Oh, you only clap when Ronnie comes. Oh, all right. Well, that's me putting me place. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Isn't that a wonderful picture of rejoicing? I see lots of examples, as you will in the world, of people having fun and rejoicing. I was watching a video of a group on television playing in London in the open air. And everyone was like this, you know, they're all waving their hands and shouting and joining in with the singing. Well, they would go home perhaps with a feeling of joy, but it wouldn't last. My joy lasts when I go off to Sunday worship. That joy doesn't pack up when I go home. It keeps going and keeps us going all through the week. And we add to it as we worship him on our own and sing praises, I hope. Well, there was another item of news that was given on Monday morning, and it was one of our friends, and she looks after her grandson, and you know, she's looked after him, she's babysat for him when her mother went to work, she takes him to play group and all this sort of thing, and he started to go to Sunday school, and she always asked him after he'd been to Sunday school as we were walking home, well, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And he said, oh, something about Jesus and something like that. And she says, well, tell me about it. And he'd say, oh, I can't remember. And she said, that's the usual conversation. She says, well, I was walking home. This was on the Monday morning. She said, yesterday morning I was walking home, and he said to me, Grandma, do you want to know what we did in Sunday school today? And she said, yes, I do want to know. Tell me. He said, well, we learned about what is a Christian. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. And what is a Christian? He said, a Christian is someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, has asked him to forgive their sins, and asked him to come into their lives. And she said, and did you do that? He said, yes, I did. And I'm going to tell my mum. And I thought, what a wonderful thing. And what a blessing for that Sunday school teacher. that this little boy is only about nine, and yet he had grasped the essence of becoming a Christmas. There's a scripture in Psalm 16. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Well, my Christian experience is one that I hope is marked with joy. I love to worship God. I love to play the keyboard. I play every day at home. And Anne, I can hear her singing sometimes, you know, wherever she is in the house. I'm plonking away and I can hear her singing in the background, which is really nice because there's a joy. And this spider is an unwelcome visitor. Or it's a fly. It's gone. The fly has flown. I want to read now from Isaiah 61. God's way of dealing with grief and loss. Now, God doesn't want us to lose our joy when we have to go through periods of grief and loss. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And to me, these are the most difficult times to prove our faith when we have suffered some kind of loss. Now, when we get to our age, speaking for myself, Joanne, I'm not including you, by my age, I've seen a lot of people die. And unfortunately, when I meet an old colleague from work or something like that, they say, now, who can I tell you who's died? And as I don't want to know who's died. It's the first topic they want to tell you about, who in our group has died. And unfortunately, well, I know somebody who's died as well, and so we go on. But we don't want to know the negative things of life. We want to know those things that bring us joy. But we will all, at some time, suffer grief. And it's not just through somebody dying. It can be through losing something, losing a relationship, being disappointed in a person, in a job, being disappointed with the child, the way one of your children is going or behaving in their lives. Frustrations can be a way of us losing our joy. Illness can be another. Loss of security. Do you know, my heart goes out to some of these people who I see on these ships in the Mediterranean. And some of them are our family. They're our brothers and sisters who have fled from terrible persecution or war. And they've given every penny of what they've got to be put on a boat and shoved out into the Mediterranean. And we think, how can we cope with these people? What are we going to do with them? And I think they're my family. They're our brothers and sisters. And are they worshipping and praising God in those circumstances? Well, that would be hard, wouldn't it? But that's what God wants us to do. That's how he wants us to respond. A friend of mine, of course, Sir Matthew, who nobody here will know, I don't expect. His wife, who was 68, both of them, and his wife had a heart attack. And she was taken into Preston Hospital at that time in our area. And I went with him. And Anne had come as well, but she had gone about 9 o'clock. And he said, are you not going to go? I said, no, I'm staying. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, he said, oh, John, you should go. I said, no, I'm staying. Anyhow, she died shortly afterwards. And we were kind of comforting each other because I loved this lady very much too. And he said, the Lord has given me a word. And I said, yes, tell me. He said, It's from Nehemiah, and I'll read the whole bit, but I'll tell you the bit that he said. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks." The people were mourning and weeping. "Send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And you know, he lived from 67, he lived till 99. And in all that time, he never left. You see, every time we talk about Nora, some people can't talk about their loved one who have gone without getting upset. He said, "I always think the joy of the Lord is my strength." And that may be an encouragement to somebody today, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, even in those circumstances. So there's joy in unfair treatment. When Paul was, well, it wasn't Paul, whoever it was that wrote to the Hebrews, said, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession." Those are challenging words to me for people who have lost or who have suffered persecution. Now, I've been ridiculed. We have all at some time been ridiculed for our beliefs. I have friends who are in a non-equal marriage. One is married and the other is not married, and have had great problems, sometimes are verbally abused by their spouse because of their faith and because they want to go to church on Sunday, and it's really hard for them to do that. But they keep going because what they have is so much more valuable to them than what they would lose if they went with the way of the other person. I love this story in Luke 15 about the three losses, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And the end of the first two stories says, "There was joy in the presence of the angel of heaven over one sinner who repents." And I feel that's such a challenging thing to be told, that when I became a Christian, that there was joy in heaven over me becoming a Christian. And that, which I probably told before about in a little mission hall in North Shields called the Evangelistic Mission. And a really, really, really old man to me, he must have been about 60, he seemed really old to me. Somebody 40 looked old in those days. And he was preaching about leprosy and Naaman, the leper, and relating to how Naaman's leprosy was like sin, which separated us from God. And, I had been inveigled to go there by Anne, and I might have told you this before, but I boasted in the office where I worked that I'd been going out with this religious nut, and she was taking me to this religious revival meeting because she wanted to get me saved. And so when I went in next morning, they said, "Well, did you get you saved then?" I didn't have long, did I, before I had to stand up and be counted. And I said, "Well, yes, she did." "Well, what happened?" Well, I told them. I wept and wept under conviction. And they tried to counsel me, and I was still weeping, and I was weeping when I got home. And it was through the singing of that song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And then there's that verse, "Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come," and I went. And I arrived. So, the joy of finding the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And then the joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which I won't go into, but his joy is in us through the working and power of his Holy Spirit. And he then blesses us with the fruit of the Holy Spirit when he fills us with his Holy Spirit. I've lost a page. There it is. I haven't got that many pages. I'm going to go on for a lot longer yet. No, I'm not. His joy is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I love the passage about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, because I used to think it was all these were different fruits, and it isn't. It's one. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yes. Yes. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the first are spiritual gifts, love, joy, and peace, God's gifts to us. The rest are how that changes us in the way that we behave. And I like to think of it as the nature of God in me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think of those things in a scale of 1 to 10. You know, where am I on joy? Where am I on peace? Where am I on patience? And I've got to tell you, on patience, that I wasn't very good on patience. So I prayed for the Lord to give me patience, and every traffic light I got to was on stop. When I got to the checkout at the supermarket, somebody had a huge basket full of stuff in front of me, and I was trying to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You're teaching me peace. Thank you, Lord. But eventually the message gets through and we learn to be patient, and then we don't have to stop at all the traffic lights and what have you. Well, our Father God wants us to be content. And Paul said, I have learned to be content in every situation. And when you read about some of the situations he was in, how could he have found contentment in those situations? I was talking to somebody who wanted to know God's will for his life. What should I be doing? Where should I be going? And do I need to be a missionary? Do I need this and that? I said, what you are doing and where you are now is where God wants you. That's what God's will for you. He'll tell you if he wants it to change. He'll show you what he wants you to do. But you have to be content where you are to do what he's given to you to do. And my philosophy, if you like, or scripture, is to do with your might what your hand finds to do. And I like to think that that's what I do. I want to read something to conclude, but I want to comment before I do it. Our Father wants us to be content in our situation, even if it's a bad situation, to give thanks, even if it seems impossible for us to give thanks, to rejoice, even though we don't feel like rejoicing, to allow his Spirit to change our nature into his likeness, allowing the fruit to grow and enable us to be Christ-like in our day-to-day lives. Now, if a fruit tree is not properly cared for, it won't produce good fruit. I was listening to a comment on gardeners something time on the radio, and this was talking about growing tomatoes. And I grow tomatoes, and I want as many as I can possibly get. And he said, that's not the way to grow tomatoes. If you want good tomatoes, you've got to stop the growth at the most 5 trusses, which are the dangly bits with tomatoes on. He said, then don't let them grow and grow and grow. Keep them down to 3 or 4 on each truss. That way, you'll get big tomatoes. He says, and if you want big, fat tomatoes, have one plant to one tomato, and you'll get big, fat tomatoes. So if you're growing, there you are. There's a little bit of advice for you from God wants us to allow the fruit to grow, to take away the things that hinder our growth and enable us to be the most like himself. I'm going to conclude with a prayer. And it's a prayer in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Praise be to God for his word. Now, I felt we'd be nice, since I'm in charge, I can have a song to finish. We're going to sing, Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, almighty are we. We arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the light into our hearts. We will give the ground we claim.